Welcome to the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon. I'm Monica, your host, and I am so excited you're joining me. Each week here on the pod, we open the Bible, we talk about prayer, we explore what the Catholic Church teaches. For me, getting familiar with God's Word transformed my relationship with Him, and I want that for you too. I want you to be comfortable in the Word. I want you to be familiar with it, confident, Bible literate. I am here to help you one week at a time. Let's dive in. Welcome back to episode 2 of my series on Jane Deschantel and Francis de Sales. So excited to have you back. If you didn't listen to last episode, go back just to get a little context about Jane and Francis's life. But I'm thrilled because all summer I've been alone on the pod, and this time I have a guest coming. Not just any guest, but this girl is actually the girl who is based, I based a character in Janie off of this girl because in my life, my guest, Mary, has been the voice of Jesus and the face of Jesus to me. I'm actually dedicating the book, Janie, to her because of her example in my life. And I need you guys to know her and to be able to hear her gentle voice and her words because they have literally changed my life. Over the course of the 2 years that we've been moms together, we have gone back and forth with voice memo all the time. And I just have heard her voice, gentle and compassionate, always receiving me no matter where I'm at. And it's just like an insane gift. And so I want to share her with you. Welcome to the show, Mary. Thanks for coming on.
Well, first of all, to receive such a beautiful intro, I am so humbled by that. I'm so honored to be on this show, on this beautiful podcast. Thank you for having me, Mon. I'm so excited to be here.
Thanks for coming, Mary. Seriously. Mary, can you just give us a little overview? Where are you at? What's going on? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Yes, I would be so honored to. So, again, my name is Mary, and I am originally from Western New York, specifically a small rural town outside of Rochester, New York, where I currently reside with my husband. And we have a delightful little 2-year-old blonde boy named John Paul, who is just the light of our lives and keeps us busy, as you can imagine. And my husband and I are blessed to reside in a little Catholic community surrounding our parish. And so just a little bit about our lives is it's really a blessing where we get to walk to our neighbors' homes and break bread together. And it really kind of feels like, to me, it feels like the It's a Wonderful Life movie and just kind of like how connected it all feels. And obviously life is not perfect, as we know, but that's just been such a blessing in my young adult years, especially as I've entered my vocation and started a family. And so, yeah, that's just a little bit about myself.
I love it. You can already hear a taste of like how Mary talks. Can you imagine talking to Mary every day? Am I right? Like, Mary is just so grateful and so joyful. And literally, this is how she talks all the time. Aww. She'll be like, "Oh, Monica, I had a horrible day, but God loves me." And I'm like, "What?" So seriously, though, Mary, I just really, really love you. So I wanted to ask you right off the bat, kind of, we have a couple different directions to go in this conversation today about the gentleness of God. But is there any place you want to start and kind of layering on that question? How do you think that you have kind of come into this gentleness, the way that you speak, the way that you think? What have been the main influences of your life? Is it how you relate to God? How do you relate to God? Start telling us a little bit about this. I'd love to peel that back a little bit.
Well, absolutely. Well, it's such a beautiful, beautiful and thought-provoking question to begin with. So thank you. I would say to start by answering that first part of your question of, if I understand correctly, of how do I engage with this gentleness, or how maybe I first encountered this, I would say I do relate to, I think in my relationship with the Lord, I have always just kind of seen myself in this tender way, or especially I just think about Psalm 23, and I just always come back to like lying in verdant pastures, you know, and I love Jesus as the Good Shepherd, and I really feel like that title for Him, especially in my relationship with Him, maybe is a key part of this, where I do feel blessed that I've always viewed the Lord as a good father. And when I think of an image of a good father, I think of someone who takes care of his daughter. And what good father would not be gentle with his daughter, right? And kind. And so I do feel that I relate to that imagery. And another interesting thing, and you'll walk with me here, what I'm about to say, is I am the I'm the youngest child in my family, and I don't know if perhaps my birth order even has something to do maybe with my disposition, my temperament of being
the baby
and being like, in a way, hopefully I don't want to use the word like, oh, Mary's the baby, but in a sense, like, granted, I have siblings. We all know there's not always gentle periods with siblings. There's fun love and hardship. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I do feel this sense that there was a gentleness maybe exhibited towards me and my family that I also received as a blessing from my family of origin. And I would even, I think my parents are gentle people too. As much as parents have to be firm, yeah. I do think maybe all these influences, my relationship with God, my family, I do think this could maybe be part of it, of how I kind of see the world or strive to see the world. I am an imperfect person, but that's, I think, how I'd answer that first part.
That tracks too, because I was at your wedding a couple years ago, and I remember my husband and I, we go to a lot of weddings, especially, you know, that year we had been to a lot of weddings, and your speeches of your family and your friends, the people closest to you, stood out as like, wow, these people both are hilarious and great at giving speeches, but also they all have this life-giving, joyful, positive, gentle language that Mary has. Like, they all talk like Mary. Like, what? I'm like, I can tell. Like, it's like, show me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. That type of thing. The people that you surround yourself with, both by family, but also by the friends you've chosen and the husband you've chosen. Incredibly gentle speaking, kind worded man, you know, like that. I just can see it. I don't know. I think it begins with you, but also begins with the Lord. Anyways, I actually wanted to go to the Good Shepherd as one of the places in scripture. So let's go there real quick. Actually, let's just start.
Yes.
Of course, Psalm 23. But I wanted to share this verse with you, Mary. You probably already know this verse, but it's Isaiah 40, 11. And this is really special to me because it is about motherhood. At least I think it says in Isaiah, this is about the Savior to come. He will feed his flock like a shepherd, gather the lambs in his arms, carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. And the part at the end there really struck me recently. I was like, oh my gosh, he's gently leading those that are with young, like the moms with the young kids, the sheep moms that have the little lambs. He knows to be gentler with them, maybe, than with the rams. Like, I just am like, oh my gosh, have you felt like God has been gentler or gentle with you in motherhood? Can you talk a little bit about that and your experience with motherhood?
Oh, absolutely. What a beautiful scripture that Isaiah is. And I love this, Mon, because that image of leading those with their young, and just I do feel like God has been gentle. And as I've entered into my early motherhood, I actually have started to see it as every time I, you know, delight in my son, or he does something that makes me smile, or I remember like what a precious privilege it is to be leading him, essentially. Sometimes, you know, you have these moments in motherhood where you kind of have like this existential, like, oh, like I'm responsible for this person. And it is incredibly overwhelming at times because it's such a privilege and a responsibility. But then there's the flip where it's like, wow, if I love this little person this much, if God like assigned this little person to me, to my care, how much greater is our Heavenly Father's love for us? Like, it's amazing. It's like as he guides us, we're guiding these little ones entrusted to us. So essentially, yes, like I'm going to pray even more with that scripture after this, because I love that so much. And I think so often we see moms right all over in the world, but how often do we just stop and ponder like what a gift, what a call that is, and how much like the Lord honors it too. Mm-hmm, so I really think, it definitely makes me feel like God is wanting to be so gentle with us as mothers, because we could be hard on ourselves too. You know, it can be such a tough, it can be such a tough thing sometimes, but I think at the core of it, God wants us to love our motherhood, to love it even in all the hard spots, because it is such dignifying, holy work at the end of the day to be entrusted with these little souls.
Yeah. So, yeah. And Francis de Sales, he didn't necessarily use this exact verse, but the way that he would talk to Jane, especially at the beginning of their direction, he would recommend her to stop doing severe penances. As a matter of fact, he made her stop doing her severe penances because he said, you don't have any business doing these severe penances. Your life is already enough. Your children, like, you need to be led gently. You've got these five little children that depend on you, and you need to nurture in your heart a gentleness and a patience and a peace toward them. And if you are severe with them because you're severe with yourself, we need to adjust that. So you need to first accept God's gentleness because you are the face of God to these children. And you can hurt them, you know, like, not to be, I guess, like, oh, you can hurt your children. Like, we're all going to hurt our children. We're all imperfect. But Frances de Sales saw motherhood as the avenue of Jane's sanctification. He was like, you don't have to add additional things. This is the way already. And if you can succeed at doing really well on the way, now we'll add some penances. They have their place. But I just thought, wow, Frances was leading her gently, you know, just as Jesus leads us gently. I think he really was onto something there.
Totally. No, totally. I just to respond to that. Yes. Like, that is, like, so beautiful, and, like, how beautiful that he was able to, like, almost, like, call Jane to, like, recognize almost, like, again, the dignity in what she was doing. And, like, yeah. Like, nope, you have five beautiful little ones. That's a lot right there. Like, you were doing the work. You were doing the work, you know.
It's, like, very validating to be like, oh, this feels hard, but it actually also is hard. It is hard, and the Lord recognizes that it's a cross and a blessing, 100% blessing, but, like, this is he'll lead us gently. I don't know. I also think, so there was a period in my life when I really related to Jesus as the good shepherd in a different way, because I learned that shepherds break the legs of the sheep. Do you know this? When the whole 99, the one wanders off and it's like, oh, the good shepherd's going to put that sheep on his shoulders and carry it back. It's such a sweet imagery. But the reality is, when a sheep wanders off, the shepherd breaks the legs of the sheep and brings it back on his shoulders because the sheep can't walk anymore. And he's teaching him kind of firmly, you don't wander off. You stay here. And now you need to stay here to heal. And I, at one point, had two medical boots. Do you remember? Mary and I met at Damascus serving as missionaries. And this is a couple months before you came, but I had broken my, I don't know. It's complicated what happened, but I had two medical boots on at one point. I was walking around and I felt like the Lord is my shepherd. He broke both of my legs and I did not even, what? He's being so harsh with me. But I realized the Lord is a good shepherd, and a good shepherd sometimes has to be kind of firm. And at that point, I was not a mother. I was also not very gentle. And he was, like, steering my stern heart to, like, need help. And by the time I met Mary, I think I was down to one boot or one peg leg. Is that right, Mary?
This is correct in my memory as well. I remember the boot, and you rocked it well. So I remember that.
You're very kind. But that was a transformative thing. The Lord gave me the word severe mercy. That was a severe mercy, that the good shepherd is not just gentle. He's also stern, and he's also severe when he needs to be. And he also has a stick to beat the wolves, and he's scary, you know? So he is a good shepherd, not just a gentle shepherd. But of course, in this verse here, I'm like, oh, I'm so comforted by the gentleness that he's a gentle shepherd too, especially to the ones with young. So, okay, I love that. I want to move on to our second place of scripture, but any last words on shepherding or anything like that from you before we move on?
Oh, man. Well, you just give me so much to think about. These are such great questions. Well, I think you taught me something. I don't think I knew completely about the shepherd breaking the sheep's legs. I guess I didn't even realize that. Because you're right, you see the beautiful imagery. You're like, oh, that's so sweet. And yet you don't think of all those sheep's legs are broken.
The sheep is in pain.
Right? Like, oh, no. But I feel like, I guess, maybe if I dig a little deeper and reflect on that, like, maybe in a way, that could be a metaphor of, like, if we're trying to grow in gentleness, both maybe in our relationship with God, but maybe also gentleness towards ourselves and then towards others too. A thought of mine came to, sometimes maybe there is pain in that process only because it's like God is working on our hearts, right? And working on how we view all these fundamental relationships, how we view him, how we think he views us, and how we view ourselves, so that we can then view others. So it's funny, you actually gave me something to think about when you said, like, the pain of, like, the image looks so gentle, and it is, but the sheep's legs are broken, and that must hurt. So sometimes I feel like when God is growing us in something, it doesn't always feel comfortable. There is some pain sometimes in the process, but it's for a greater good. I actually think of, I'm going to use birth as an analogy. When a woman in childbirth feels pain, it actually means progress, right? It's like, yes, one of those sacred like things. And so often we don't like to think of it that way, because pain, ooh, it hurts. We do want to like close up. We kind of want to run away. But pain, oftentimes when God allows it in our lives, he really does use it for a good. Like if we can, if we can shift our perspective to like go in that direction with him. So.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I love that. I was literally praying this morning with another verse about the shepherding, where it's like God is going to shepherd us back. But he says the Lord will circumcise. This is from Deuteronomy. The Lord will circumcise your heart. It's like a promise from Moses about the future Savior, which is a good promise. Like the Lord will circumcise your heart. He will make your heart able to love him fully. But when you think about the process of circumcision, it is cutting. It's cutting away excess fat. And it's probably painful. So I was asking the Lord, what is the knife that we're talking about here, buddy? Like, I was not addressing the Lord very respectfully, but I was like, what do you want to circumcise in my heart? I totally see areas in my heart that need circumcision, but like, what are you going to use? Because in this past 2 years, specifically in my relationship with you, Mary, the Lord has used you not as a knife, but more as a chisel, like a very little bit at a time, where I'm like, this is new growth for me. I'm used to painful growth. I'm used to like, you get better by making it, you know, by being really harsh and by, you know, you say, I need to stop being selfish. I'm going to attack selfishness with everything I got, you know. But for the first time in my life, I think I would come to you with a problem and expect you to be like, get better, Monica. And instead you'd be like, I'm so sorry that that happened. And you'd like love me into change instead of motivate me into change, perhaps. You and my husband both, I will say. I'm married to a very gentle man, but it is amazing because I guess am generally friends with and attracted to women of a little bit of a vocabulary of more like, you can do it. And I do that too. You can do it. But your language of softness and learning that it actually worked on my heart made me want to in turn speak that way to my friends. So when my friends brought me a problem, instead of me saying, well, here's a solution and here's something you can do, and here, I would start with, how would Mary say this? Mary would be nice for like 4 whole minutes before she ever offered any idea of correction, which you did, by the way. You did offer all sorts of great ideas to me, but like, it was just, it's so foreign to me to speak that way. So I don't know. We're speaking of both the pain and also the gentleness. God can use either a knife or a chisel. But anyways, I guess the shepherd knows what the sheep needs, right? So thanks for being the chisel, Mary. Okay, I want to go to another place in scripture. Matthew 11:28, classic. Take my yoke upon you, says Jesus, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and I will give rest for your souls. Okay, I've got a couple thoughts here, but you take the first bite. Any thoughts here about this verse, about Jesus being gentle? Go for it.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think about this verse a lot, actually, because in some ways I'm like, man, Jesus, you make it sound so easy. It should be easy, but it's also like puzzling, right? Sometimes it's like, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's like, Jesus, I pray, like, Lord, help me internalize that and like live that no matter what's happening. And of course, in the world, we'll inevitably encounter different trials and challenges that will really be tested on this. But I think above all, really, when we're in relationship with God and when we strive to hold that relationship above anything else, it is true that this line, you know, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Like, again, just resting in the love that God has for us is enough to like soften our hearts when we stop, we think about it, when we experience it. And I think sometimes part of maybe gentleness, or maybe what God wants us to receive when he says, my burden is light. You know, the challenges that you will face as Catholic Christians, as whatever it might be in your life, in your personal life, social life, whatever it is, Jesus is like, remember that, like, in a sense, I almost feel it's like everything I'm giving you or equipping you with, like, there's great purpose to this. There's great love in this. I try to think about that. I genuinely do. When I encounter various trials, difficulties in my life, I try to remember I go back to the fundamentals, which is,
yes,
God loves me. This is true. God loves me so much. He has a plan, a plan better than I could ever imagine, especially when I'm trying to be in relationship with him. God never said storms wouldn't come my way, but he did say, I will be with you and I will love you. And I think the key here, Mon, is, hopefully I'm not going on a tangent here, but my last thought to kind of wrap this thread up is, do we genuinely believe that our Lord is who he says he is? Because if we do, then we could take him for his word. Then we could say, you know, I don't know how this situation, how you're going to make this one gentle or whatever it could be. But Jesus, I believe you can. I believe you could do anything. There's that, I call it the genuineness of our faith. And it's almost like in these times, like our faith is like becomes a diamond. And I hope that answers the question. I hope I didn't get caught in the weeds, but I guess the yoke is easy, the burden's light. It's like, yeah, this is hard. It could be hard when we try to do it apart from life with Christ, you know, like apart from that.
Yes. So, oh, I love what you said, Mary. As you were speaking, what was sticking out to me is there's a phrase, I think it's from a worship song. I don't actually know where I got this, but it's the careful hand of God. That kind of sticks out to me. I don't think it's straight from scripture. I think it is from a worship song, but I will say, like, when I'm in a moment of like suffering or doubt or wondering, why would God let this? Why is he letting this happen to me? I've been kind of sick in pregnancy recently, and I my victim heart sometimes turns to the Lord. I'm like, why are you letting me suffer? And I try to remember, this is from the careful hand of God. And God's not careless. He doesn't just throw things around. He is careful. And if God's careful hand gave this to me, it's like I have to do the thing you said, to trust that he loves me as the first foundation and to not get suspicious of that. Like, even if I get suspicious of like, why do you want this to happen? Like, to always trust it's coming from a place of love, because that's the foundation of his relationship with me. He's never trying to thwart me or hurt me. He doesn't forget me. He's not just like, oh, I backhanded Monica by accident. Sorry. Like, the careful hand of God entrusted this to me. Exactly. But I'm like, why? And like,
I know. And if you allow me just to comment on that, yes. Mon, it's just, I love that so much, because it's like, here you are, you have this beautiful vessel within you that is growing every day, and it's such a gift, you're so grateful, but at the same time, it's like it we can forget, like, oh, it's hard work, like, your body is doing, like, such hard work every day, and it comes with so many unexpected feelings, emotions, physical things, mental things, all of it, and it's kind of like, it reminds me, too, like, in our lives, like, when God blesses us abundantly, like, inevitably, like, in that picture, we don't see, like, what the hard spots are going to be, but they're always there, aren't they?
Yes, they're
always there, not to hurt us, but to, like, bring us to that greater, like, love, ultimately, like, love, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I also thought about this verse. I heard it on a podcast recently, so this is not my thought. This is Father Pat Schultz, but he said something about, like, Jesus is a carpenter, right? So Jesus works with wood a lot. So it's not just that God is saying this. It's that Jesus the carpenter is saying, take my yoke upon you. And he knows how to fit a yoke because he's a carpenter. So he has done this all his life. He has been, you know, working with oxen and putting yokes on. He does this. So he knows how to fit a yoke properly, and he knows how to not make it chafe or hurt. So he's using this example, probably thinking about all the oxen he's ever yoked, you know. And I'm just like, wow, I can trust Jesus to yoke me well. Because when you're yoked to somebody, you're like tied up to them, you know, and the stronger one is going to pull most of the burdens. When you're yoked to Jesus, he's supposed to be pulling most of the burden. And I'm like, I can trust that, like, the life circumstances and sufferings he gives me is actually not meant to chafe me. It is heavy because we're pulling something, but it's not necessarily like, oh my gosh, I'm blistering, because he made the yoke for me. He custom fit it to me because he's a good carpenter.
Yes.
I just felt really blessed by that. I don't know.
Oh, I know. I love that. Amen. Like, that's, oh, I love thinking of that. Yeah. Like, Jesus does this. He's a carpenter. This is his job. Like, it's like, it is really cool to, like, think of it in that light. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Let me ask you kind of a complicated question, Mary, if that's okay. This is getting a little more like theological rather than practical. We'll rein it back into practical after this. But okay, this is something that when I start thinking about Jesus being gentle, I inevitably think about the Old Testament portrayal of God. Now, this is before we had the full revelation of Jesus Christ, before we fully knew, you know, about God as much as we know now. But, like, it seems in multiple situations that God is not gentle in the Old Testament.
Right.
Right? and it seems that he is gentle in the New Testament. There's actually a whole heresy about this, that they're different gods, right? What would you say to somebody who's like, wait, God is not gentle. Jesus seems gentle, but also Jesus says harsh things. Like, how do you reconcile that in your heart? I don't know. Do you have any hot takes on that?
That is a really hard but really good thought-provoking question. So I guess where my mind goes to first is this phrase that I'm sure many of us have heard of, like, the old fulfills itself in the new and the new in the old, right? And we know this. Now, what you're saying is so true, man. It's like, well, of course the God in the New Testament is so gentle. The imagery is just different. It's there. And then in the Old Testament, it's like, yeah, we kind of got this fiery, brimstony, like, oh man, like I'm like shaking in fear a little bit, right? Like the holy, like righteousness of God, yeah. Right? The qualities to him that are so awe-inspiring, just like, wow, like only God could do this, right? And so I feel like it does challenges our view of gentleness, because I think if our view of gentleness is only that to be gentle, we must, I guess I'm going to use the word, be nice all the time, or...
Yes!
I think God wants us to say, I'm not nice, but I'm not, I care about the best interests of my children, and sometimes the best interests of my children is not what they like. It's not always being nice, and maybe this is where we're getting at the God of the Old Testament, where it's like, oh man, like, I'm in fear of the power you have, Lord. And then I think why we, of course, we need both is because we know we can have that holy fear of God, which is good. But if we didn't have the love and the mercy of God too,
yes,
where I think it kind of forms this full picture of the gentle God, the God who holds our whole lives in his hand and can turn things upside down tomorrow, is still the God who knows every hair on our head and calls us beloved. And it's amazing. And my last thought on this is, sometimes I like to think, like, wow, like, there's like 7 billion, maybe we're almost close to 8 billion people now in the world. I'm not really sure. But sometimes I just think of this aspect, like, wow, God knows all of us. Like, he knows all of us, like so perfectly. And you're just like, only God. Like, it kind of blows my mind. I'm like, only God, because it's so hard to wrap your head around picturing 8 billion people, right? So I guess my mind is just going to that too, in a similar way of like, it can be hard to almost reconcile the contrast in our head. However, I get a feeling these two are like much more closely linked than we think in our humanness, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I really like what you said too about the niceness. I think that is so big. It's something I reflect on a bit. Like, you know, if God was just gentle, then we wouldn't have a protector warrior king who fights the devil and defeats evil. And like, his power and the fear of the Lord that we should have in response to his power is part of him. He's not just this nice guy who sometimes we reduce Jesus to be. Oh, he's this nice guy. It's like, no, he is kind. He is gentle. But he's not just a nice guy. He is also just. And the whole thing about the Old Testament that I've come to reflect on, I didn't mean to like ask you a question and then have another answer, by the way. Yeah. But like, another thing I reflect on here in this perspective is like, he is gentle to the repentant. But when people are hard-hearted and disobedient, he is not gentle to them, because he is just. So when his children disobey him repeatedly, and he gives them a chance and a chance and another chance and another chance, he does punish them, and he goes through this punishment. And like, the gentle Jesus that you and I know will punish sin. We both receive and love his gentleness, and we go to confession and we repent of our sin. Yes. You know, like, it's a relationship of a father, not just a friend. So I don't know. I think that, and then there's another concept that somebody introduced to me, which again, as a toddler parent, I like super relate to, but I guess in the Old Testament, God educated his family more like parenting a toddler. Like, you know, if you do this, you will get this reward. If you do this, you will get this punishment. You know, it's get a little more black and white. Like, you will get a spank, or you will get a toy. But in the New Testament, he parents us a little bit more like teenagers, where he's like, I'm not trying to just punish or motivate you. I'm trying for you to see my heart, and for you to do this because you want to be in union with me. I hope when my teenager, my 2-year-old daughter is 18, I'm not like still saying, I'm going to take this away from you if you do this. I hope that she sees my heart and I say, I want you to be home because I want you to be safe. So I want you to obey me. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes. it's a deepening of the relationship. But that doesn't mean that the toddler parent is mean for having to discipline their child. Their child has to learn that way. Their child's young. You know, I don't know. Yes. What do you think about that as a toddler mom?
Totally. Like, we can't let our toddlers just, like, fall into reckless, like, unsafe things. Like, we would guide them. We would say, oh, we'd be a little sharp sometimes. We'd be like, yeah, nope, I'm going to put up this healthy boundary, whatever it is. And, like,
yeah,
it's true. It can't just be, that's perfect all the time, right? Like, yeah. Well, that's, like, or else we'd probably be missing a side of our parenting. Just, like, God, who knows us, loves us. Like, there's many aspects of our Lord that we can experience, right?
Yes, and totally.
It's good for us, even if it feels different to receive it sometimes.
Totally, right. Even if, like, God chastises those who he loves. We're like, what? That does not feel like love. Like, oh. Yes. Okay, Mary, I got to ask you about practicals. Like, do you're talking about, I guess earlier, what were you saying? Now it's slipping out of my head. Pregnancy brain, what am I thinking? You said something about, laying the foundation to know that God loves you, to remember. Yes. Do you do anything in your daily prayer, in your daily routine, writing things on your walls, whatever, throughout your life or currently, that, like, helps you to remember God's love? Or what is that like for you, I guess, to keep it, keep your memory sharp that God loves you, even when it doesn't always feel like it?
Oh, I love that. Even if it's, you know, even if it's like a solid 20 minutes in the morning or sometimes at the end of my day, I try to always begin and end my day with the Lord in mind.
Nice.
And something that I really, I'm going to share this as, I think I've shared this with you, Mom, but for your listeners, I'm excited to share this. I actually have a note in my phone called Hope from Heaven. And I started this to essentially remind myself of how every single day in my life, God is actually giving me something intentional that's just for me, that maybe only I care about. But because he notices me, he loves me with this gentle specificity, if you will, like intentionality, kind of like I just talked about with, like, how he knows us all so well. So in a way, like, I think that's me encountering this, like, gooey God that is so powerful and so awesome, and yet, like, he sends me ladybugs.
Yes,
just a small aside of, like, when I see a ladybug, people, I get way jazzed. Like, a ladybug to me is God's Cupid bow and arrow. Like, oh, Mary, like, I'm sending you this ladybug. And even cooler significance that it is, they're named after Our Lady. Fun fact, you can look it up.
That is awesome.
I just love that. So again, a small aside is, like, for me and my unique walk, I, Mary, have a note in my phone that is called Hope from Heaven. So no matter what day I'm having, I always log something down. Make sure I even if my day was, well, like, the totally unexpected happened, I try to find that one glimmer that was like, God, this was so you. This was so you, you know, it was only you. And so it's fun to look back to. It's like an active journal, right? It's fun to look back and say, wow, like, this is my lifeline, God. This is my living hope. And so if that answers your question, like, in some ways, I love these intentional opportunities to, like, really think about, like, what is God giving to me that I can actually notice? It's really a noticing thing that becomes to change my heart.
Which is hard. It's like you have to train yourself. And what you're doing through that note is training your mind even to look for these things and to interpret them. Like, if you stopped doing this for, like, a year, I wonder if you'd see a ladybug and even think of it. But because you are looking for ways, it's like you're open. You're saying, God, I'm ready. Surprise me. Love me. And I think that honors God. Because sometimes I think we sit on the sidelines a little bit on our faith and we're like, well, if God wanted to do something, he would do it. And it's like, or he is doing something and you're missing it because you're not looking for him and you're not noticing and you're not paying attention. It's like when he gives you one ladybug and you love it so much, he's like, I want to give her another one. You know, like, he's encouraged. He's honored by how you steward the gifts he gives you. So I just love it. I think it's very cool, Mary.
Thank you so much, man. I'm so, so thankful. I Well, that was a great question. That was really fun.
Look at her. You guys are just getting what I'm getting. I'm loving it. For me, a practical is like, actually, our friend, Mary Beth, she really brought this back to my, arsenal, my tool belt, if you will. But we learned this at Damascus, but the idea of declarations, or asking God, what do you think of me? Writing it down, very similar to your concept of like keeping track, writing it down, honoring God by writing it down, I guess. And then keeping that word from God in her mind. Like she said that, I guess I was speaking to her in January, and she said that she was like in a daughter season where she was like, I have forgotten to ask God, what do you think of me, Father, for years. And so as a result, I have maybe thought that God maybe thinks I'm lazy, or maybe God thinks I'm not that good or whatever. And why do I think this? Because I haven't, like, we're weak little humans. We need to remember God's voice. We need to hear it like daily bread. Like, Lord, please tell me again you love me. And you know, so much of that for me is through scripture, because I can hear God through his scripture, through his words, through his promises. So it's like, you don't need to be able to hear God's voice in prayer if you're stuck, if you're blocked, if you're feeling dry. Totally get it. But go to scripture, because there's so many places where it's like, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. I wanted to testify to that real quick. There's this verse in Zephaniah. So I've been like all over the Old Testament recently, and you know, through this past year of really getting to know the Bible better, past couple years, I've ventured into books that I normally wouldn't go to, and one of them is Zephaniah. Zephaniah 2:6 says, the land by the sea will become pastures, having wells for shepherds and pens for flocks. Which on first glance is like, all right, this is just a description of what the promised land will be like, or what the restored land will be like, okay? The land by the sea will become pastures. But in a different translation, it says like the cliffs by the sea will become pastures. And I am praying, you know, one random morning, and it just strikes my heart that like God is speaking about my heart, that my heart is like a cliff. And you know, like a cliff by the sea, you think about the waves beating on it, and it's sharp and it's jagged. And if you fall off a cliff, there's like rocks at the bottom, and it's like, argh! And that's the picture of my heart. And he's saying, this cliff face will become a pasture. And you're thinking about a pasture, you're thinking lush and verdant and safe, and a place I'd lay out a picnic blanket and let my toddler wander around. I would never let her wander around on a cliff face, but I would totally let her wander around in a green pasture. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, the Lord's promising to me through this random verse that he's going to transform my heart from being hard to being a safe place where my daughter can grow. That is like very endearing to me. And I'm like crying over this random verse about cliffs and sheep and pastures, you know, but like, I think that that change for me has changed my life, in that I thought, if I don't hear God say to me, I love you every day, that maybe I don't know how to pray. But the more I venture into scripture, I'm like, it's there. It's there. It's a gold mine of nuggets of God's love, if I only knew how to hear him and see him. And I don't always know how to hear him and see him. And I don't always know how to see him in the natural. Like, your strength of seeing things in the natural as a gift from God, I don't necessarily have, but I have a sharpened tool of seeing things in scripture that are for me, you know? So I just love seeing too, amazing, how different we can receive God's love. And like, it's there yes, in nature. It's there on our window. It's there in our toddlers. It's there in our friends' voices over voice memo. It's there in scripture. Like, I don't know.
that makes me so happy, Mom, because like I applaud you for diving into the Old Testament. I feel like I'm intimidated by the Old Testament, but I know it's full of good stuff. So so it does encourage me to like to dive in there, and also, like you said, encounter these golden nuggets that like maybe it doesn't feel as naturally disposed to me to go seek it. But I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Now I'm like, I want to go to Zephaniah now. I need to go to Zephaniah and find what God has for me there. So thank you for sharing that.
Yes, you never know what you're going to stumble upon. That's what I've found. Sometimes I'm like reading through lists of names, I'm like, nothing is going to stick out. And then suddenly I'm like, but it did. Like, how did he do it again? But yeah. Okay, well, this is insane. It's just such a gift to talk to you about this. I just love reflecting on the gentleness of Jesus, because I think that as we do this, we're kind of walking the footsteps of Francis de Sales, particularly, because he was the doctor of gentleness, the doctor of love. He's the doctor of the church, patron saint of gentleness. And I think that he meditated a lot on probably what we're meditating on, and maybe probably much more, to where he brought it so much into his heart that when you met him, it's like you met the gentle Jesus. And I would say that he and you are such kindred spirits. I am so grateful to have you in my life. So grateful for your constant like presence and attendance to me, and gentleness in it. And I just really think, Yeah, if Francis de Sales met you today, he'd be like, yeah, you're my girl. I don't need to spiritual direct. You already got it. All right, you go spiritual direct somebody else. Like, I just think, you know, I'm your Jane and you're my Francis in a certain sense. So I honor you. I thank you. Thank you for coming on the pod. Is there any last thoughts you had before we close up this episode today, Mary?
Oh, just, I just want to thank you so much, Mon. I feel so blessed to be your friend, and I'm so humbled to be on this beautiful podcast. And I literally, everything you're telling me, I'm like, oh, I could share it all back at you. I feel so similarly, but I want to I guess my last thought is just, I think for all of us, there may be these like virtues and gifts that naturally might come to us easier than others, but maybe like this pod is a great challenge for all of us to reflect on. If it's not gentleness, like maybe pray and discern, like what is that quality you would like to try to like get close to and get to know, peek around the corner and get to know the one that's maybe intimidated us and get to know a little more. And like, I feel like I love this like deep dive on gentleness, because even me, I feel like I have so much still to grow in and learn about. And I just, yeah, I feel like you've given me such good food for thought, Mon. So thank you for just bringing up, especially all the beautiful scripture that you did, that I'll have to go back and reflect with on my own. So.
Thanks, Mary. You're the best. Okay, well, Janie is out soon on Amazon. I'll put the link in the show notes. Go check it out or recommend it to a friend. I would love you to get to know Jane DeChantel and Francis de Sales in the same way I have. And yeah, that's all for today. We'll see you in the next podcast talking a little bit more about Jane's story. See you next time. Bye.